is Auburn's performance in the transfer portal as bad as some fans are making it out to be?
Well, Zach, I actually just finished crushing some chicken farm, and I am freaking ready to rock and roll.
You are Locked On Auburn, your daily podcast on the Auburn Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, welcome on into Locked On Auburn, your daily Auburn Tigers podcast. I'm your host, Zach Blackerby, and thank you so much for making Locked On Auburn your first listen every single day. We are joined today to talk all things Auburn recruiting and, of course, transfer portal stuff, as well as we are joined by John Garcia Jr. He is the director of football recruiting for Sports Illustrated and, of course, the Locked On Recruiting Insider. Always a pleasure to have you on the show, man. And so I reached out to my audience, and they're like, man, what do you guys want to hear from John? And the resounding response, as well as a few of the names that we're going to sprinkle in here today, was, would love to know John's thoughts, kind of the outside looking in, of how Auburn is performing in the transfer portal compared to other schools, John.
Yeah, I think when you start to use the word compare, I think that's where the feelings sort of change. You know, okay. I think, first of all, look, I mean, when you're looking at transfer portal additions at transition coaching staff, you're going to see bigger numbers. It just kind of is what it is. So if you're comparing Auburn to Miami or Oregon or USC, you're going to see more volume at those schools for the most part because they're rebuilding. They've got a totally new coaching staff,
yeah,
and they're dealing with plenty of departures as well as trying to add talent to the roster. So I think in that regard, sure, Auburn is behind and much more conservative, I think that's the right word, in approaching the portal itself. But if you look at the end of the 2021 season and then filling needs thereafter, I think Auburn has at least positionally done a decent job. Obviously, you brought in two quarterbacks and created what is, I guess, still an ongoing quarterback battle, right? So
sure, yeah,
we're still trying to see what that looks like. And two of the three were guys from the portal, and the other one was a transfer as well. So I think in that regard, no matter how good or bad the quarterback play is, the entirety of the room at the forefront outside of Holden Gariner is a portal product. So I think in that regard, you did create competition at a really big position of need at quarterback. You tried to address it on the offensive line, and that's an ongoing process as we now look past the May 1st deadline. So I think that's still TBD on the offensive line. And then you hit on defense with certain prospects. I really love the DJ James pickup from Oregon. I think that helps solidify Auburn's secondary as one of the best in the SEC, which has really been the case consistently over the last few years, but yeah, maintaining that obviously important when you're in the SEC West. So really, for me, the only big question marks is, where are the pass rushers? Where are some of the front seven guys that I think can help Auburn, you know, going forward? You know, maybe there you could find a gripe or two. But again, overall, I think Auburn has done a good job in the portal and kind of an expected job relative to the positions that they were attacking. You know, I think O-line and D-line are maybe where you leave some room, you know, for desire, maybe wide receiver as well. But all of those are still TBD because, as we're finding out, Zach, the portal is kind of never ending at this point. There's still a lot of talent in there as we speak.
Well, I think that's why some Auburn fans are confused, or, you know, they don't really know how to feel, because you see, I mean, hundreds. I mean, heck, there may be over 1,000 kids in the portal. It wouldn't shock me at all. And it's like Auburn's really kind of taken their time with this. But of course, you know, we're in it. You know, is this happening everywhere, or is this just an Auburn thing?
You know, I think every staff is approaching the portal differently. You know, I mean, Lane Kiffin, by calling himself the king of the portal, you know, I mean, that's obviously rare.
Yeah.
It's not something we're seeing across the board. Usually, again, those bigger transfer markets are schools that are either transitioning from one coach to the other or totally trying to rebrand what they're doing on one side of the ball, because while you want portal additions, you also don't want to be portal dependent. So I know college football fan bases are fluid and it fluctuates every day emotionally, but you don't want to be portal dependent either. You still want to, at your core, be a school who is able to develop identified high school talent that you evaluated, got committed and brought into your program, and then developed for Saturdays and maybe Sundays on top of it as well. So I think there's a fine line there that a lot of schools are still trying to figure out, and maybe Auburn is one of them. I mean, and conversely, there are schools that like really don't touch the portal very often. Like Notre Dame is not really like all over the portal, but they're still going to be a top 10 team that is going to contend this year. I mean, there's really no, I guess, correlation between we are hitting the portal very hard and we are contending. You know, Clemson's another that's not going to hit the portal hard, right, but they're probably going to contend. You know, there's no one pure way to look at it. Ohio State not hitting the portal hard, but will contend, you know, and then conversely, schools are in Nebraska added like 12 players, including multiple quarterbacks, just like Auburn. Will sure. they contend? You know, I don't know about the correlations there. I think every school is totally different. It's like the NFL, right? You're building for team needs through the NFL draft. So in college, you're looking at the high school and junior college players as your foundation and the portal as more of a supplement than the main pipeline in terms of talent acquisition. So it's a fine line, but it's still fluid. We're still only a couple of years into this thing.
Yeah, I could see Notre Dame being like, we're too good for the portal. We're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. No, I think that's interesting. And just the dynamics of it all, you know, the receiver, you know, Warsham that came to Auburn, like, it's just wild to me that this is his third, he's going into his third year of college football, and he still has 4 years of eligibility. Like, that is just an amazing thing that we would have never seen two or three seasons ago. And it's like, this is like, you know, I mean, you might as well have just gotten him out of high school, you know? And so probably not an instant impact guy, but I think there's a ton of those. I think there's a ton of those throughout the transfer portal with these redshirt freshmen and redshirt sophomores that also have a COVID year. I mean, they've got ages of eligibility left.
And that's really the hard thing. You know, we see all these stories about schools that change coaching staffs and they're trying to get up to that 85 limit. Yeah. That's not an issue in the SEC. Usually it's the opposite, right? In the SEC, it's like, we need to cut down to 85. How do we do this? Do we start processing players? We start cutting guys, encouraging them to hit the portal. Right. There's really no one method for it. But yeah, the eligibility issues in college football roster management are really hard to navigate. You know, in a lot of respects, the NFL is a little bit simpler with all of that. So it's another thing that we're still on the forefront of, because those players who were playing in 2020 all got that year. So until we get to the 2025 season, then finally all of those guys will be out and that issue will no longer, you know, be here. But obviously that's a long way away.
Yeah, that's forever. I mean, who knows what college football will be doing then. All right, there's a name in the transfer portal that Auburn fans are very interested in. We get John's thoughts on him in just a moment. Thank you so much for making Locked On Auburn your first listen every single day. And if you want more recruiting talk even after this episode with John Garcia, we talked on Saturday, put up a special Saturday show if you want even more. A lot of you guys missed that because it happened over the weekend, so circle back and check that out. All right, John, an offensive tackle, which is a position of need. I think we all can agree on that for the Tigers. Spencer Lovell, he is an Arizona State offensive tackle. He has entered the portal. He is a grad transfer with 2 years of eligibility, massive frame, 6'7", 315. What do you know about this guy?
Well, I know he's got one of the greatest roster photos. If you ever just go on Arizona State's roster, check out his photo, you'll get excited because he's an offensive lineman that looks a little crazy. So that's fun.
Yeah.
You mentioned the frame, obviously a huge prospect, and he's got a tackle frame, but played a lot of guard at Arizona State. Actually started some games last year before they went over some roster transition as well. So, you know, that's an interesting player from a height and weight standpoint. He just hit the portal. There is interest, a reported interest from Auburn, but there's interest from a lot of schools, right? There's not a whole lot of kids that are players that size, I should say, that are available this late into the offseason. So we'll see where he ends up visiting. That's always a telling factor. So if you're an Auburn fan, you're hoping he's not ready to make a commitment and he's going to take a considerable amount of visits. He did visit Cal over his first weekend as a portal free agent or whatever we want to call
sure,
it.
Right.
But there's a dozen programs that are interested. You know, a lot of schools across the country could use a big body like that. So we'll see. naturally, you know, he's a West Coast kid. He's from Colorado originally. So naturally the Pac-12 schools probably feel better about their chances on the front end. But like you said, Zach, he's a graduate transfer, multiple years of eligibility remaining. So this isn't a rental like some of these portal replacements have been, where you're like, hey, it's May, you're going to come here, you're going to play, and if you're off to the NFL, you'll be gone by November or December. This isn't a 6 month, 7 month rental. This is a 2 year potential, impact player who has Power Five and Pac-12 experience to his name, with some positional flexibility on the offensive line. Who doesn't need that at any level of football? So understandably, Auburn is interested, but so are many other schools. So we'll see who can be the next school after Cal to host him for a visit. Typically, kids like this don't last very long.
Right.
Players like this don't last very long in the portal. So every visit here will be paramount in my mind, and at least from where I sit. But no doubt Auburn should be interested, and fans should be excited that there is some tangible interest from Auburn's end. So we'll see if they can get a visit.
Yeah, Spencer Lovell. So that is a name to look out for, Auburn fans. All right, this next kid I think is very interesting because it circles back to a conversation that you and I had either 2 or 3 weeks ago, John. But Roderick Robinson II, some places have him as a 3-star, some places have him as a 4-star running back out of San Diego. He put Auburn in his top 6 earlier this week. Auburn, Oregon, there's Cal again, Tennessee, UCLA, and Arizona. So obviously he's from California, John, and so it's like, okay, it makes sense why there's, you know, a lot of Pac-12 folks, but some SEC in there as well. But what is so interesting to me about this is a few weeks prior, he put out his top 9, and Auburn was not in his top 9, but they found a way into his top 6. And you and I talked a few weeks ago about how Brian Harsin and his staff, they don't care if, you know, it seems like they're out of it. They're going to keep pushing and keep pushing and keep pushing. To me, that's telling, right?
100%. And what changed was a visit. You know, you got to campaign for visits, because otherwise, how is a kid going to know what your program has to sell beyond the top couple of schools in the country, right? So I think that was the biggest difference. You pair a visit with Cadillac Williams, and then you all of a sudden put all those things together. And then you look into it a little bit further and say, well, his family has roots in the state of Alabama, so they surely know about Cadillac Williams. You know, the kid grew up in the South. I think his dad's from Birmingham. He spent time in South Carolina. So you see some of that SEC influence in his top 6. But it's truly national, right? 4 Pac-12 schools, a couple of SEC schools. So the next step in terms of contending for Auburn is another visit, an official visit at this point. And what's good about a kid with the top 6 is that when he takes his 5 officials, he'll eliminate one school before he tells us he's eliminating that school, because whichever school doesn't get the visit, it is probably out at that point. So, yeah, I think Oregon's going to be a factor here. I do think Auburn and Tennessee will each be factors in this race. And then you look at the style here, and I think that's where it gets interesting, because this is not the smallest running back in the country. This is 6'1", 230 pounds. I mean, Robinson is a big, physical, downhill, very much an SEC, Big Ten type of back from an athletic profile standpoint. So it makes you think that, hey, that Auburn and Tennessee icons on his top 6 graphic, those look pretty tantalizing, you know, from a profile perspective. And then you throw in some family history in the South and you think, hey, you know, there's a chance this kid can really come back home. So I do think that those things absolutely matter in college football recruiting. Now, I mentioned Oregon earlier on purpose, because he's a Lincoln High School kid, San Diego, and there's a Lincoln to Oregon pipeline that has been brewing. They signed a couple of kids from that school last year, and those kids have been openly campaigning to bring him to Eugene. So you understand why, of the Pac-12 schools, that's the one I have my eye on at this point. But you got some time in between now and a final decision. He wants to commit in August, so those June officials, once he starts setting them, are going to be pretty big for this potential verbal commitment. So same deal, Auburn fans. If you're in it now, if you want to stay in it, grab one of those 5 official visits. That will eliminate one of those other schools, and then you go from there to continue to contend. But I expect Auburn, Tennessee, and Oregon to be 3 of those that stick it in this race all the way through the end of it.
Is Robinson a guy that's kind of put out what his timeline is, or is just kind of when he knows he'll do something about it?
I think he'll take the trips and make a decision before the season, which is very common with a lot of these rising senior recruits. They want to commit in July or August and be done with recruiting so they could focus on winning a state title or putting their all into their teammates for their last ride at the high school level. I thought I saw an August commitment date in a report I was reading earlier from On3. So I'll double check on that. But typically these kids want to make decisions leading up to their senior year for the most part. And I think Robinson is one of those.
All right, we can't let John go without talking about an elite in-state target that Auburn fans are excited about. We will touch on that in just a moment. But I want to tell you about our friends at BetOnline. BetOnline, they have put out the odds for really every Power 5 conference, the odds for each team to win their respective conference. Auburn is behind Arkansas. They are tied. No, they're tied with Arkansas. They're behind LSU. They're behind Ole Miss. I thought some of the odds were very, very interesting. We'll do a full show on that probably later this week. But you can check all of that out if you're feeling spicy at BetOnline. And, of course, also the NBA playoffs are there. Major League Baseball is there. Esports is there. There's a ton of action happening at BetOnline. And it's the best place for you to get in to the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. John Garcia, our guest today. And the last guy I want to talk to you about today, John, is Jaquavius Rusaw, a four-star edge up from Montgomery, goes to Carver, 6'2", 230. And man, you know, you just look at his visits list. The kid's been everywhere. He put out his top 11 not too long ago. Auburn made the cut, but a ton of SEC schools did. Where is Auburn as far as their standing with Rusaw?
They're right in the thick of this. Yeah. I think you mentioned the top 11, so that always tells me, hey, this thing's got a ways to go, and that's okay if you're right. Auburn. You know, I think if you're on the other end of that, if you're Alabama, if you're Georgia, you're like, hey, sooner the better because we're right at the front of this thing. He just visited Texas A&M as well. We feel good if he's ready to go right now. If you're Auburn, you're like, yeah, he visited once. We need to see if he can come back to campus. Him and James Smith are kind of tied at the hip, the other elite defensive lineman from Carver Montgomery. Can you get another visit out of that duo in May or in June? And maybe you go from there. But you don't want them to be lining up for a commitment here very soon. But I don't think either will be done in the coming month. I think each of these elite pass rushers will take this into the season, possibly for in-season official visits, which is kind of becoming a thing of the past because all these kids are taking spring and summer officials, but there's still something to be said for that in-game, in this case, a Jordan Hare official visit where you feel the fans in a big game like the Iron Bowl, like any of this SEC West game is a big game. Yeah. Any game like that, I think, could resonate for prospects that are in-state, you know? And I think with Rusaw, he's one that, like, when you talk to him, like the first time I talked to him, Zach, he wasn't one of these, well, yeah, I grew up a Bama fan or I grew up an Auburn fan, and this is like a no-brainer. He's got family ties to both programs. I think he's got a little bit more Auburn than Bama when he get into the Rusaw family, so that could be a good thing in the long run. But like you mentioned, heavy list of contenders here, Georgia, Texas A&M, Florida, Bama, all going to be very much in this race for the long stretch. And then they both got Alabama State there as well, so Auburn is not the most hyper-local school on the list, but certainly if an HBCU school pulls either of those two Montgomery natives, that would be a big deal. But certainly Auburn is going to stay in this race, and I would be surprised, Zach, if they didn't get at least one more visit before the list got cut again. And I think you're in good shape if you get another trip out of Quay Rusaw. And out of the duo, I think Rusaw is more likely to end up at Auburn than Smith, as far as we can tell at this point.
So when you look at, you know, you talk about the official visits, you know, on game day, is it that much different than unofficial visits on game day? Because surely he's been on an unofficial at some point in his high school career to Jordan-Hare Stadium, right?
Yeah, he has. Okay. He has. And it is very different. You know, you certainly get the same in-game experience, so those 3 hours or 4 hours sometimes with the SEC broadcast.
Yeah, if it's on CBS, right.
Right. So that can feel very much the same, but it's everything around it. For an official visit, your family's flown in, or they won't fly in this case, but maybe Auburn will send a nice car to pick up everybody. Your travel is accounted for. Your food is accounted for. So you're not eating the kind of buffet style unofficial visit thing that like all these recruits get when there's 400 recruits on campus. No, this is very much a five-star dining experience every single day. And typically the Sunday of the game day visit weekends for officials, you're spending a lot of intimate time with the head coach. You're getting a lot more on the person that Brian Harsin is in this case, because you know the game was Saturday, where obviously he's pretty focused on trying to get a W.
Sure.
But then after that, it certainly shifts towards recruiting. And Sunday mornings of official visit weekend are very critical in developing a lot of these relationships, not only with the player, but again, with his family, who is, you know, put up in a nice hotel, the whole nine yards. So it is a very different experience in general, but especially on game days, because you get the business end and then you get kind of the personal side before you wrap it up.
John Garcia, if you were a high-end recruit and you were on an official visit, what kind of car would you want to come pick you up?
Well, if I'm 45 minutes away, it depends how many family members I got with me. Probably an SUV, nice Tahoe,
okay,
something comfortable for everyone to ride up in. But yeah, you know, all those things matter. You'd be surprised. I've seen
they do the research coaches on that, right?
Yes, absolutely. This is the SEC. It's like the closest thing to the White House as it gets in recruiting,
sure,
right? I mean,
yeah,
it is presidential in nature. Every detail is researched thoroughly and updated every year, but I've seen multiple coaches use like a Rolls Royce just in the last 2 weeks. I've seen Lane Kiffin do it, and I could have sworn someone else did it this past weekend for a photo shoot. It might have been the Florida Gators with Billy Napier. So just in the SEC, I've seen two different coaching staffs utilize a Rolls Royce on a recruiting visit. I mean, this is the heavyweight, you know, division of recruiting, and every little thing matters, including the make and model sometimes.
Do they just rent the car for a day? What's that process like? Do you know?
I'm not sure. I mean, it sure seemed like, you know, on the Ole Miss one, it was a couple weeks ago, Lane Kiffin was driving around a transfer target in the Rolls Royce. It was an official visit, so it was totally legal. And the kid, you know, filmed Lane, of course, because that's how else would we find out about it? And then at Florida, it was a photo shoot. So that one was an unofficial visit. I think the Rolls Royce was just in Gainesville. So I don't know how they're acquired. Maybe the NIL collectives have something to do with it, but they're convenient. You know, Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma last summer did like a supercar spread in the middle of the field at Oklahoma, where there was like 10 Lamborghinis and kids were taking pictures. I mean, the smallest, or not smallest, but the most non-football things matter oftentimes in recruiting, because you're trying to create a perception and an atmosphere against what, you know, the adults in the room are telling the kid as you drive or fly into the campus.
Yeah, it's fascinating. John Garcia, how can people find all of the great things that you're writing all of the time for Sports Illustrated?
Yeah, real simple, si.com/college, or check us out on Twitter at JohnGarcia_JR.
Absolutely. That is John Garcia. Thank you so much, as always. And thank you so much for making Locked On Auburn your first listen every single day. We'll be back tomorrow right here on Locked On Auburn. See ya.